Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Macy's is closing a Metro Phoenix store. Here's where and when. Macy's announced Thursday that an Arizona location was on the list of 66 stores to be closed as part of a plan to revitalize sales. Macy's originally announced the number of closures in December without specifying which stores would be affected. Macy's plans to close 150 stores by 2026, around 30% of its total. "Closing any store is never easy," said Tony Spring, Macy's CEO, in the release. "We are closing underproductive Macy's stores to allow us to focus our resources and prioritize investments in our go-forward stores. Here's what Arizona shoppers need to know about the store closing in Metro Phoenix. Which Macy's in Arizona is closing? The Macy's location at Superstition Springs Center in Mesa will close," officials said. The store location is 6535 East Southern Avenue. When is the Macy's in Arizona closing? The closing date of the location at Superstition Springs Center in Mesa has not yet been announced, but a going out of business sale is expected to be held in early 2025. More big chain stores are closing. Macy's is part of a larger chain of big box stores shutting their doors. Big Lots has closed 24 stores in Arizona since July, but a recent deal leaves the fate of the remaining stores in question. In December, Party City said it will close all its stores, including 15 in Arizona. Craft retailer Joann announced 8 closures nationwide after it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in March. Kohl's will close 27 underperforming stores across the country. And that story was Macy's is closing a Metro Phoenix store. Here's where and when. The next story, Gulfstream opens $130 million facility at Mesa Gateway Airport. Gulfstream Aerospace Corp. has officially opened its $130 million Mesa Service Center at Mesa Gateway Airport, bringing about 250 jobs, with more expected. A ceremonial ribbon cutting took place on Thursday and included various state and local leaders. The 225,000 square foot maintenance, repair, and overhaul facility was originally announced in 2021. To meet customer demand ahead of the center's completion, Gulfstream opened a facility and began offering service in 2022, adding more hangar space in the fall of 2023. Gulfstream's Mesa operations have already brought more than 250 new jobs to the region, with an additional 100 more expected this year, a press release stated. To help develop the workforce, Gulfstream is partnering with Arizona State University and Chandler Gilbert Community College to offer training, including apprenticeship and internship programs. The Mesa Service Center can accommodate up to 13 large cabin Gulfstream aircraft simultaneously, with the capability to support maintenance and avionics services, inspections, and drop-in support for all Gulfstream models. This is in addition to Gulfstream's existing Mesa West campus, which can hold up to 10 large and mid-cabin aircraft. The opening of Gulfstream's new Mesa Service Center aligns with our strategic vision to provide the industry's most modern service network, sustainably designed to serve our customers where and when they need us, stated Gulfstream President Mark Burns in a company press release. The new service center is expected to receive U.S. Green Building Council Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design Silver Certification later this year. The facility was built to operate with environmental efficiency through recycled regional and lower emissions materials. Additionally, Gulfstream's Mesa campus features an on-site fuel farm that includes a 30,000-gallon tank dedicated to storing sustainable aviation fuel blends. Mesa Gateway Airport is operated by the Mesa Gateway Airport Authority, which consists of representation from Apache Junction, Mesa, Queen Creek, Gilbert, and Gila River Indian Community. Queen Creek Mayor Julia Wheatley is chairman of the airport's board. In December, the airport's board voted to change the facility's name from Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport to Mesa Gateway Airport, following Phoenix's withdrawal from the board. That story was, Gulfstream opens $130 million facility at Mesa Gateway Airport. The next story, Mesa City Manager announces plans to retire in May. Mesa City Manager Chris Brady will retire after nearly 20 years in the post. He announced just one day after Mayor Mark Freeman was sworn in. Brady will step down on May 31st to start a new role as a mission leader, along with his wife, for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. His post as mission leader with the LDS Church will be announced on Friday, Brady told the Arizona Republic. He said he had planned to retire at some point this year, but his church calling solidified the date. He said he recognized the blessing and uniqueness of having been the city's CEO for so long. It felt like a good time to retire, he said, putting him in a position to help the new mayor and council with the transition to set them up for success with the new city manager. Brady announced the news Wednesday in a farewell letter to city employees and the city council. In the letter acquired by the Republic, he called his time as city manager a remarkable journey. The city council will decide how it will hire a new city manager in the coming months. It could launch a nationwide search or hire internally. Brady was hired as the city's chief administrative officer in 2006 and has overseen the evolution of Mesa from a bedroom community into the major metropolitan city it is now. Before joining Mesa, he was the assistant city manager of San Antonio for 10 years and held executive management positions in Bel Air and Houston, Texas, and Provo, Utah. In the first years of his tenure, Mesa wasn't in a good place financially, but he said he helped build up its reserves. When the Great Recession hit, the city was in a better place than most municipalities in Metro Phoenix, he said. He also changed the city's tactics for recruiting and pitching big business to Mesa. We set a standard of showing we could deliver and be able to talk to those Fortune 50 companies and bring in jobs, Brady said. He credited the city's political leaders during his tenure for working to pitch Mesa, such as former mayors John Giles and Scott Smith. That's why you see big names like Apple, Meta, and Gulfstream in Mesa, among others, he said. Brady managed about 4,000 employees and an annual operating and capital budget of $2.6 billion. When Brady joined Mesa, he said employee turnover was pretty high and was a concern for city leaders. Over the years, he said, he's worked hard to ensure Mesa has a stable workforce to maintain city services for residents. He focused on retaining employees by building a health wellness clinic, bringing back lifetime health insurance, and offering competitive pay. The city is set to usher in a new era this year with a new mayor and soon a new chief executive officer. Brady told employees in his farewell letter he is confident they will continue to uphold the values of knowledge, respect, and integrity. Please continue to move forward with a purpose and determination to make an impact the Mesa way, Brady wrote. And that story was Mesa City Manager announces plans to retire in May. The next story, Pinal County confirms Arizona's first pediatric flu death. Pinal County Public Health Services District announced Friday that a young child died due to influenza. It is the first pediatric flu death in the state this year, according to a release from the district. Our deepest sympathy goes out to this child's family. In order to protect their privacy, we will not be releasing any further information about the child, Marissa Mendoza, District Health Director, said. Since the start of the current flu season, 2,794 lab-confirmed influenza cases have been reported in Pinal County and more than 30,000 cases in the state of Arizona, the release stated. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older obtain the flu vaccine, which officials said provides protection against hospitalization and death, even for those who get the flu. It is important to get the vaccine as soon as possible because it takes your immune system 2 weeks to build defense against the flu, the release stated. Those who would like to schedule a flu shot or other immunizations can call Pinal County Public Health at 1-866-960-0633. And that story was Pinal County confirms Arizona's first pediatric flu death. The next story, let's keep this rodeo going. Mark Freeman sworn in as Mesa's 41st mayor. Mesa's new mayor envisions leading a city that honors its roots and also creates opportunities. I want to be the largest small town in America, Mayor Mark Freeman said in a speech after he was sworn in Tuesday as the Pacht Piper Theater in the Pacht Piper Theater at the Mesa Arts Center. Freeman becomes the city's 41st mayor, ushering in a new era after 10 years of John Giles' leadership. Freeman starts his four-year term after 8 years of service on the city council. "I'm excited to take the reins of Mesa and lead us to a bright future," Freeman said. He vowed to residents to listen, prioritize their voices, and lead with accountability. Freeman said he would focus on fiscal responsibility, prioritizing public safety and water sustainability. Referring to Mesa's recent burst of economic growth, he said, "Let's keep this rodeo going." He reflected on his connection to some of Mesa's pioneers, including his ancestors, the Crismans, and spoke about the lessons he learned as a young boy working on farms. "It taught us hard work, faith, and community values, and those are things I carry into my new role as your mayor," he said. He shared his love for the city and thanked his supporters for the incredible honor to serve as mayor. Freeman served 2 terms as a council member for the city's District 1, which encompasses the north-central part of Mesa. He worked as a fireman for 31 years in the Mesa Fire and Medical Department before retiring in 2011. Council members Rich Adams, Francisco Heredia, and Julie Spilsbury also were sworn in Tuesday. Heredia and Spilsbury were re-elected to serve 2 terms, representing Districts 3 and 2, respectively. Adams will be the political newcomer to the City Council. He previously served on city boards, including the Planning and Zoning Board, Economic Development Advisory Board, and Falcon Area Visioning Commission, along with other community-related boards. He comes from a business and management background. He takes a seat that was vacated by Freeman and will represent District 1. Adams, in his swearing-in speech, said, "Of you, all I ask is you hold me accountable and that you let me know how we can serve you better." Tuesday's ceremony included performances by the Universal Cultural Organization and the Mesa High School Chamber Choirs. The event ended with a traditional Chinese lion dance, which escorted guests out of the theater into the post-event celebration and reception. And the story was, "Let's keep this rodeo going." Mark Freeman sworn in as Mesa's 41st mayor. The next story. New AG homicide unit focuses on Apache Junction, Glendale, Goodyear cold cases. The Arizona Attorney General's office has created a cold case homicide unit that will work with local law enforcement agencies to re-examine unsolved cases with resources that may not be available on the local level. Attorney General Chris Mays on Thursday announced the creation of the unit, along with the 5 Arizona cold cases that will be its initial focus, including homicides in Glendale, Apache Junction, and Goodyear. "Justice has no expiration date," Mays said. "This is about more than solving crimes. It's about providing justice for the victims and their families. Every cold case represents a life that mattered and a story that deserves to be told." Here are the initial cases. Melody Harrison. On August 6, 1992, the body of a young female was found in the desert area south of U.S. 60 and west of Idaho Road in Apache Junction. The victim was believed to be between 16 and 18 years of age. The victim at the time was wearing a Team Gear brand, size large, t-shirt with soccer balls imprinted on the front and back. She was also wearing a pair of Levi's denim cutoff shorts and a ring on her left finger. On October 26, 2023, utilizing the victim's DNA profile and familial DNA obtained by the Apache Junction Police Department, they were able to identify the female as 15-year-old Melody Harrison. She was reported as a missing juvenile on June 15, 1992. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Apache Junction Police Department. Victoria Lacey. At approximately 4:15 a.m. August 13, 2012, 25-year-old Victoria Lacey knocked on the door of a residence in the area of 47th Avenue and Orangewood in Glendale. She advised the residents that she had been stabbed a short distance away and needed help. The residents called 911. When officers and medics arrived, the victim was only able to identify her name and that she did not know who had stabbed her. A person delivering newspapers told detectives that around 3:30 a.m. he had been in the area and had observed 2 younger Hispanic males spray-painting a vehicle in the area, but he had not seen the victim, and it was not known if they were involved in the stabbing. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Glendale Police Department. Leslie Good. In the evening of June 3, 2008, Goodyear police officers responded to a shooting at a residence in the area of North Litchfield Road and East Loma Linda Drive. Upon arrival, officers discovered the 39-year-old Leslie Karen Good dead in her home from an apparent gunshot wound. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Goodyear Police Department. Sabino Lopez. On the night of June 9, 2018, Tolleson police officers responded to a shooting call in the area of 91st Avenue and West Garfield Street. Upon arrival, responding officers discovered 21-year-old Sabino Lopez in the street bleeding from an apparent gunshot wound. She was treated and taken to a hospital where he later died. Officers learned he had been walking in the neighborhood when he was confronted by three males in a silver-colored SUV shortly before the shooting. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Tolleson Police Department. Diana Shawcroft and Jennifer Luth. They were last seen at a convenience store about 7 p.m. May 24, 1996. The cashier later saw a man pull up in a blue pickup truck. The girls talked to the driver, got in the truck, and were driven away. 3 months later, in a remote area of Yavapai County, 100 miles north of Phoenix, human remains were discovered and were identified as the girls. Recently, new evidence has been discovered and will be analyzed. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Glendale Police Department. Anyone with information related to a cold case is urged to contact the Arizona Attorney General's office or silent witness with information. Photos of victims are available here, and there's a live link in the article. That story was new. AG Homicide Unit focuses on Apache Junction, Glendale, Goodyear, cold cases. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. The next story, Marathon Man. John Giles leaves Mesa Mayor's job with a long legacy after a decade in office. Mesa Mayor John Giles is passing the reins after leading the city through 10 years of rapid growth and transformation. He emerged on the national political scene last summer after he crossed party lines and urged Arizona Republicans to vote against former President Donald Trump and support Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris. At the city level, those who follow Mesa politics knew him as a leader willing to make tough decisions even if they weren't popular, if he thought they would benefit the community. Giles, now 64, leaves with praise for his service, but not without controversy, particularly over his stances on social issues. A room of business owners, elected officials, and community leaders packed the post, Mesa's historic post office, in early December to reminisce and send off Giles. The night was filled with laughter, applause, and tears as speakers recounted their memories of Giles's leadership. The Mesa Giles inherited was trying to shed its reputation as a suburban bedroom community. He ran on the idea to change the image of Mesa, and during his tenure it became a regional economic hub with an increasingly vibrant downtown. Under his leadership, Mesa became less insular and more tolerant of diverse groups. Giles's leadership style was rooted in early life lessons about service and perseverance. He took on issues for the long haul and saw them through without being swayed by the political winds of the day. Before he became mayor, he trained, ran 20 marathons, and completed 2 full Ironman competitions. But once he entered office, he turned all his attention to the city. The mayor, who gives way to Mayor-elect Mark Freeman Tuesday, said he is done running for office, but will continue his public service. "I continue to have a desire to serve, but there's a lot of ways to do that other than an elected office, and I think that's my future," he said. Giles was first elected in 2014 for a 2-year term after then-mayor Scott Smith left to run for governor. At the time, Giles was no stranger to city politics. He had previously served 1 term as a council member in the 1990s. "I love and appreciate the Mesa of today, but have a vision of where I want it to be," he said at the swearing-in ceremony where he became Mesa's 40th mayor. "Standing still or accepting average is not what we want and not what the people who sent us here deserve." Giles then won 2 full terms in 2016 and 2020 with ease. The son of elementary school educators, Giles grew up in Mesa and graduated from Westwood High School in 1978. He often said he looks back at how the city was a great place to be a kid growing up. That's a motto that he followed throughout the years as he made education a focus of his term. The 2 years he spent in Seoul, South Korea in the early 1980s as a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was a profound experience, Giles said. South Korea at the time was still a developing country, and Giles was able to immerse himself in the culture. He learned money's not the most important thing, he said, and that understanding shaped his decision to run for mayor. After returning stateside, he moved to Provo, Utah, and attended Brigham Young University in 1982. That's where he met his wife, Dawn. His daughter, Amanda Maladu, recalled the story of her parents' first date at her dad's farewell event on December 4. On the drive down to Salt Lake City from Provo to watch a performance of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, Giles detailed his plans to run for BYU student government to Dawn, his future wife. Maladu said her parents' first date set the tone for what was to come in Giles's political career and the dynamic of their marriage. My dad is the visionary and idealistic candidate, and my mom is the savvy campaign manager, Maladu said. The two have been married for 41 years. Dawn graduated from BYU with a public health education degree and currently works as an outreach coordinator for Mesa Public Schools. Giles later attended Arizona State University and received his law degree in 1987. He served as a city council member from 1996 to 2000 and decided at the time to not run for a second term to focus on his family and career. After decades working as a lawyer in downtown Mesa, practicing personal injury law, his career was at its peak, he said, but after some thought, he decided to be an example for his family, to prioritize community service, and not be too overly focused on financial success. Giles announced his mayoral campaign in front of his firm's office January 13, 2014. In his announcement speech, he said he was running for Mesa mayor because he desired to keep the momentum going of the great things he'd seen happening in the city. Giles won his first race in a landslide with more than 70% of the vote. Over the next 10 years, Giles would develop the city into a nationally recognized place, while also becoming a national political figure. Mesa's downtown had been a ghost town for years, with few attractions bringing people to the area. A few months after Giles was sworn in, the Valley Metro Rail expansion into downtown began operating. We couldn't have an empty train, you know, running through our downtown, and so we prioritized economic redevelopment and downtown redevelopment, he said. He's called the downtown district a 10-year overnight success. Part of prioritizing that redevelopment included bringing in housing. Multiple housing projects now are underway or completed, including Zen City, Residences on Main, Melody on Main, and Eco Mesa. The city made the controversial choice to bring an Arizona State University campus to downtown Mesa. Voters had initially rejected a sales tax hike to provide funding for the campus. Some residents didn't believe in the joint vision between the city and the university, nor did they think they should front the cost. But Giles and the council, in 2018, pushed forward to find a new way to fund the campus. At the time, Giles said the city was moving in a negative direction with higher education attainment. Mesa also always lagged its East Valley neighbors. About 34% of Mesa residents hold a bachelor's degree or higher, compared with 48% of Chandler and Gilbert residents, according to census data. The campus was completed in 2022. The city and Giles have pointed to ASU's presence as another jumping-off point for development downtown. Across the city, ASU has another campus focused on aeronautical technology, engineering, and soon a new building for semiconductor technology. ASU's campus in Southeast Mesa is the anchor of all the industrial development in the area, he said. Sally Harrison, president and CEO of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, first met Giles when he first ran for mayor. Harrison praised Giles' commitment to all business, small or large. She pointed to policies and programs launched during his time as mayor that focused on uplifting local businesses. The two worked together to keep business afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic by distributing federal relief funds, she said. Harrison served as a liaison for the city to the business community. COVID-19 revealed gaps in social service programs, issues with unemployment and disparities among lower-income earners, food service employees, and people who work in informal industries, Giles told The Republic in 2020. The city used pandemic relief money to provide technical assistance and marketing services to struggling businesses. Mesa decided to make that a permanent program called the Mesa Business Builder, which it officially launched in May. The goal was to keep local businesses and help startups thrive, so in turn the city could bring in tax revenue from them. While the city grew physically and ideologically, Giles and the council pushed the city to adopt new programs and policies tied to social issues. That included an emphasis on increasing residents' higher education attainment. The Mesa College Promise, which helps Mesa High School graduates pay for 2 years at Mesa Community College, was first launched in 2020 and has since been expanded to include residents who are 24 years of age or older. Fundraising for the program was one of Giles' easiest roles as mayor, he said. The program was highlighted by First Lady Jill Biden in 2023 when she visited the campus. "We need more communities to follow Mesa's lead," Biden said at the time. During his tenure, the city also undertook a climate action plan to make the city more sustainable. The ambitious plan detailed the city's goals to become carbon neutral by 2050, among other plans on waste and energy. Giles called the plan a little out of character for a conservative community, but by passing it, the city showcased it wasn't a partisan issue. "We need to be embracing it and working hard on it," he said. Since the city passed the plan in 2021, it has invested more than $15.4 million in climate projects. After Giles began his second full term, he revived a non-discrimination ordinance to protect LGBTQ+ individuals that the city had initially discussed in 2015. Giles championed the ordinance, which sparked fierce opposition from Mesa's more conservative residents. "Mesa is the heart of conservatism in Metro Phoenix and the epicenter of the LDS Church in Arizona, which does not support same-sex marriage. It's not inconsistent to be conservative or to be a faith-based community and to respect human rights," Giles told the Republic. Although Giles is a devout member of the church and is proud of his faith, pushing for the ordinance was the right thing to do, he said. In 2021, Mesa was the seventh city to enact that type of ordinance and the third in Metro Phoenix. Giles believed it was important for Mesa to codify protections for the LGBTQ+ community because of the ambiguity in state and federal law. "The city council passing the ordinance is something I'll always feel good about," Giles said. The non-discrimination ordinance was not the only time Giles faced controversy or stepped away from tradition. While many praised his leadership, at times his decisions on policy weren't always popular. One of Giles' first controversies was his vote in favor of a contract with Core Civic, a private prison company, to transport and house misdemeanor offenders in 2017. Those against the proposal were concerned with inmate safety and condemned the idea that prisoners would be outsourced to a company that was looking to turn a profit. Giles saw the contract as a cost-saving measure. And that was most, but not all, the story. Marathon man John Giles leaves Mesa mayor's job with a long legacy after a decade in office. Remember, if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. You can take SunSounds with you with our on-demand service on our new SunSounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones, and you can hear SunSounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Stay tuned for more great content on SunSounds of Arizona.